Begin the current daf Masechet Yevam is daf Mem Dalet. We begin on the bottom daf Mem Gimel Mem Beis, four lines up from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the new Mishnah, discussing again qualifications in the halachas and the particulars of the mitzvah of Yibim and Chalitza. So the Mishnah begins: Arba Achen, four brothers, Nisuyin Arba Nashim, they were married to four women, Umesu, and the brothers died. So the Mishnah tells us, Imratza Hagadol Shabehem Liyab Meskulon, if the oldest surviving brother, the oldest brother that there is, wants to go ahead and do Yibim to all of these Yevamis, the four widows, Hershus B'yadah, he has that option, and that is because, as we said, the mitzvah is always begadol. So therefore, he goes ahead and he can have the first choice, and he could go ahead and be miyabim all four of those widows. Another halacha the Mishnah tells us: Misha hayu nasu l'shtei nashim umeis. Regular classic case of yibim: if someone was married to two women and he died without any children, so the Mishnah tells us bi asa oichalit sasa shal achas man. The bia, which is to consummate the mitzvah of yibim, or the chalitza, whichever one of these two widows that he does it with, is pateras tzarasa, that exempts her tzara. One does not do yibim to both, or chalitza to both. You choose one, and you do yibim or chalitza tzara. Continue on top of that, memdal min aleph, where the Mishnah tells us also, ha'isachas kesheira. If one of these two widows was kosher for kahuna, meaning to say that she was not a grusha, she was never previously divorced, she's just now a widow. V'achas besula, and however the other, the tzara, the other co-wife, is invalid for kahuna already, because although she was just widowed now from her husband that died without any children, she was already divorced from a previous marriage, and the grusha is invalid for kain. So therefore the Mishnah tells us, im hoye chaylitz, if the yavam is going to do chalitza, well then chaylitz lepsula, then anyways, you should choose to do the chalitza to the one that's already invalid for kahuna, because she's already a grusha, and don't do chalitza to the one that was only now widowed for the first time, and thereby invalidating her, the kshera, for kahuna. And that is because, as the Gemara will teach us, this is where Rebbe teaches us a halacha that a person should not spill out. This is the mashal of the water of his pit if other people need it. So although he doesn't need the water and he's spilling it out, don't spill it out because other people could utilize it. And therefore, if there's a woman that would be available to kahanim, where a grusha is not available, and there are those that are invalid, so this one's still kosher, don't do the chalitza tar, do to the other one, because if you're going to do chalitza tar, you're going to make her like a grusha, which is going to be invalidating her from kuna. But however, if he's going to do yibim, then you could even do yibim to the kshera, there it doesn't make a difference, there he could choose whichever one he wants to do yibim to. Now the Gemara asked a basic question on the Mishnah. The opening case was saying that if you have four brothers that die, and then the oldest one can do yibim. So the Gemara asked, Arba achad salka taita, can you entertain that there were just four brothers and no more? And then it says that made sure that they died. That means to say the whole family died out. So who is it that's doing yibim? It says there were four brothers and they all died. So the oldest does yibim, but there's no eldest. There's only four in the family. So the Gemara says, say, Arba me achen. Four of the brothers who were married to women died without any children. And then the rest, it could be a family of 10. Then the oldest could choose to do, as the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah, we said that if the oldest brother wants to yibim to all of them, so the Mishnah said, harishus b'yadai, then he has that option, he's permitted to do that. On that, the Gemara asks, is that really so? Vishavkile? Do they just leave him and let him go ahead and be miyabim four women? And how is he going to support them? As the Gemara says, v'tayim in the b'raisa. This is the pasuk in the parasha of yibim that says, regarding if the yavim is not going to do yibim, so it says, v'karulei ziknei, right? So the elders of the city called to the Yavim. And what the diuk of that pasuk is that v'karulo, that they call him, meaning hein v'lei shluchan, they have to call and not their messengers. The pasuk continues and says, v'dibra elav, and they speak to him, which again, the b'raisa darshans, melamed, what does it mean they speak to him? What are they telling him? The teacher, sh'mesin lo eitzo hegenesle, is that they give him good advice, which in comes to regards. This guy, he could be a married man already, but his brother died without any children. So the question is, does he do yibim? Does he do chalitza? So he needs das Torah. So he goes to the Beis Din, and the Dibra, they talk to him. What's good advice? Shem hayuhu yelad v'hizkena, if he was a young man, a young boy, and she's an old woman, or hu zaken v'hiyaldo, or he is an older man, and she's a young woman. So ironically, they tell him, malach etzel yaldo, what do you have to do with a little girl? Malach etzel, what do you have to do with an older woman? Go to the type that's just like you. And don't make fights in your house because you're not going to be able to communicate with each other. You're years apart. Now, therefore, the Gemara's question is, We don't just allow anyone, oh, go ahead, sure, it's a mitzvah, do it, even though it's going to make major ramifications of challenges, of difficulties, and not having communication. How could we say in our Mishnah that we just let him do yibum to four widows who can have that and properly provide sustenance for all of them? So the Gemara says, you're right, we usually give him good advice, but Leitzricha, the case we're talking about in our Mishnah is, Tafshalei, he has the capability of doing that because he's wealthy and he could support four extra wives now to do yibum to. So now the Gemara asks, so then even more than four wives. Why did our Mishnah limit him with four wives? It could have said that there were seven brothers and the seven died without their children, and then he does yibum to seven of them. Now the Gemara says, you're right, he could be fabulously wealthy and he could have had even 15. But it's a tevu kamash malan. It's still teaching us a good idea, a good counsel, that still doesn't make it even how wealthy he is. Dalet in tveiloi. Only four and not more. And the reason is, that each woman of these yivamis should have their time that they're intimate with their husband at least once a month. And the reason is, as Rashi tells us, that the oina, which is the time of intimacy of a Talmud Chacham, Talmud scholar, is from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, once a week on Friday night. And that's what the Pasuk says, the Asher Pir Yitim Be'itei, as the Gemara Masechta Ksubis, Dav Samach Beis, Amud Beis explains, where that's on Shabbos, on Friday night, and therefore, if he has four wives, so therefore everyone's going to have at least their oina once a month. But if you're going to have more than that, they're not going to even have once a month, and therefore that's not an appropriate thing. And that's why, even if he's an usher, we say that if they're four, then go ahead and be miyam all of them. But if it's more than that, then that wouldn't be an appropriate thing. The next halacha the Mishnah said was, Mishahoye nasei b'chulu. If someone was married to two wives, then you choose one of them to do yibum or chalitza, and you exempt the other one. And the Gemara asked one of the basic halachas of yibum and chalitza, who said, Uniyam l'tavai, why shouldn't you do yibum to both of them? You're taking over your brother's place to dive around their children. They had two wives, marry both of them. That Amr B'chiyah B'Rabba Amr B'yechon Amr Kra, the Pasuk tells us in Devarim, the Pasuk says, where this is talking about that the Yavama comes to the Zakenim, and it says, V'choltza Nala Mal Ragli, she takes off his shoe from his foot, and she spits in front of him, and she announces, V'amra, and she says, Kach Yaslish, this is what should be done to a man, and she finishes off that Pasuk, Asher Layivnes Beis Achav, that doesn't build his brother's house. Now, Beis Achav is in the singular, which that's what she's saying regarding this person that's not doing yibum. He's not building up in the singular his brother's house, which tells us bais echud hu baina, which is what mitzvah of yibum is he not fulfilling? One house is the one that he's supposed to be building. Then baina shnei batim, and he doesn't build two houses, meaning to say each wife is a separate house in that sense that a wife is called a bais. Therefore, you see that the mitzvah of yibum is only with one wife. So the Gemara says, fine, you have a drasha, a source that you only do yibum to one of them. Why does the Mishnah say that you can only do chalitza to one? Maybe you should do chalitza to both. And then Amazucha by Tuvia Makra, the Pasuk says there afterwards, it says that what's such a person called that does chalitza and doesn't do yibum? It's called Beis Chalutz Hanol. He's the house of the one that took off the shoe, meaning that he did chalitza. Now, that's also in the singular. So you see that Beis Echeru Chalitz, that is only one house, meaning one wife that it does chalitza to, and you don't do chalitza to both of them. So we have a source that you do yibum only to one and chalitza to one. The Gemara still asks, but v'niyabim l'chada, fine, let him do yibum to one first, and then v'nachlitz l'chada, let him do chalitza to one. So you're going to be having only one Beis Chalutz Hanal and only one Beis Echeru Baina. So why do we say that you do chalitza or yibum to one and you exempt the other one? Maybe do yibum to one and then chalitza to the other one. So another thing where it says, Amakra, the Pasuk says, im lo yachbetz, that if he doesn't want to, and the Pasuk there continues, going through the process of how they go ahead and do chalitza. Now the inference is, hachafetz yibum, meaning when do we follow through with the process of chalitza? That because he didn't want to do yibum, but it sounds like, but if he wanted to, he could have done yibum. And that teaches us the famous halacha, that kolo eid lo yibum oid lo chalitza, whoever has the opportunity of doing yibum, such a person enters the realm of doing the mitzvah of chalitza. Because she'eino oila, whoever does not come up to bezdin, which is what the pasuk there is talking about, liyibum to fulfill the mitzvah of yibum, meaning there is no zika bond of yibum over here, because actually the Torah exempts you, as in this case, from doing yibum, because it already says it's beis achiv, that only beis echru b'ayin v'lishnei batim, you can only do yibum to one and not to both. So here we already did yibum to one, and then you cannot do yibum to the second one, as the pasuk already taught us. So therefore you don't enter the realm of halacha v'chalitza either, and therefore you can't have yibum to one and the chalitza to the other, although the each one is going to be just be one, because to do chalitza you have to have also the opportunity of doing yibum if you wanted to. Moreover, the Gemara answers a second reason that we're not going to do yim to one and the chalitza to the other one is shelo yemru bayis, that the people shouldn't say that there's this house of his brother that miktsasa banu miktsasa chalitz, half of it is built, meaning one of the wives had yim danta, and half of it is not built, is destroyed, which was rejected through chalitza. We don't want that to be, that people should say half built, half destroyed. What's the problem? But yemru, let them say that. What's the big deal? Who cares what they're saying? This is the halacha. You could do yim to one and chalitza to the other one. So the Gemara answers, you're right. If you would do it that way, at least according to the second teretz in the Gemara, that you first do yibum to one and the chalitza to the other one, that wouldn't be a problem. But the reason of the understanding of the second teretz of the Gemara is, maybe, if you're saying that you could do chalitza to one and yibum to the other one, maybe the order the person will do, the yavim will do chalitza to one first and then yibum to the second one. That's problematic. Become Leibelayivna, because then the Miyabim is going to be violating the Isser of Leivna, which is Shuv Leivna. Once you already started not building it, meaning by rejecting it through Chalitza, then there's already a negative prohibition of doing Yibim, of marrying any one of them anymore from Leivna, and therefore we can't go ahead and have one do Yibim, one Chalitza, because maybe you know Chalitza first and then Yibim, and that's going to be transgressing a negative prohibition of Shuv Leivna. Now, that the Gemara asks, if that's where our source for this halacha is from, that you could only build one, only reject one. Well, then, if so, ve'ema, then say ki ikachad, when there's only one wife that was widowed, meaning bayis echad, then teskay mitzvah. Maybe only say only then do you fulfill the mitzvah. But ki ikatarti, when there are two co-wives, loy teskay mitzvah. But maybe then there shouldn't be any mitzvah there anymore, because as we see in the pasuk, it's what didn't he build bayis echad, which sounds like that was what he was supposed to. But maybe when there's two batim, then there's no mitzvah at all, because then that's not a rejection of bayis echad. And that the Gemara answers, how can you say that? Im kein, if so, that the mitzvah would only be if there was one wife, and not more than that. Well, then, saris erva da asrach mano lamali. This that we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, and we had sources from Psukim for this, that the Torah says that if you have the co-wife of a erva, that's forbidden to be done yibum with. Well, when why would I need a drasha for that? If you're saying that even two regular women that are, if there's more than one widow, that then they're not able to have chalitza yibum done to them, as we find from, as the Gemara is entertaining from these sources in our Gemara, so tzarserva mebaya, would we have to even say a pasuk to exclude the co-wife of an erva? What do you mean? Forget about the fact that she's a tzarserva. That means to say that there's two co-wives. And you're saying over here that it's only when you have bayis echru baina, but when there's two batim, then you don't have the mitzvah at all. And that the Gemara rejects that answer. Alam aloy, it's not true. Why not? In other words, that maybe you're right. Maybe as we're entertaining over here in this Gemara, that when there were two batim, when there's two widows, that then you would be exempt from halacha of yibum chalitza. But still, wouldn't we need a pasuk to exclude the tzaras erva? But itzrach, no, actually, you would need that drasha, because we would actually think it would be better. So, we would have thought to say, erva avroi kaimam, the erva is on the outside, meaning she never falls to yibum for him, as we learned from the pasuk, we learned about from Achayis Isha, that there's no zika of yibum from the erva. Hence, what comes out is that the tzara, the erva, the co-wife, is actually the bayis echad, and hence, v'tisyam tziras, and therefore you should have yibum done to the tzara. Maybe that's what the chiddush of those psukim that we learn now from Litzror, to say that no, the tzara is going to be asa, because if not, we would have thought actually that she is the bayis echad, that would be permitted. So Elarav, the Gemara says that the way we know that it's not true that to learn up as the Gemara is asking, that there would only be a mitzvah of yibum if there's only one widow and not two, is Ela rather yivimta yivimta ribas, because it says more than one time yivimta, that's come to tell us that there's not just one yivama, but even if there's many yivamas, even if there's two, the halacha is going to be that there is a mitzvah of yibum. And again, that's why we say that it's going to be even if there's more than one widow, but if you're going to do yibum, then you do it to one, because that's what the pasuk is teaching you, bayis echad ubayna ve'ina bayna beis batim. Now the Mishnah then concluded by saying that hoysa achas kasher, if one of these two, so you do yibum or chalitza to only one. So it says that if one of them was kasher for kahuna, then if you're doing chalitza, do it to the possible one anyway. And that of Rabbi Yisuf, Yisuf said that Kanshon Rebbe, this is where Rebbe taught, meaning in our Mishnah, Rebbe taught us this lesson. As we said in the Mishnah, Yishbach Adam Meibayre, a person should not pour out the water from his pit. And other people need it. In other words, you're doing chalitza anyway. You're not interested in marrying any one of these two men. So you're just rejecting them. So you don't care who you're doing chalitza to. But other people might need that water, meaning one of these two wives is still kosher to kohen. A kohen can marry her. Now, the other one, he cannot. So if you're rejecting, reject the one that's already rejected anyway, because when you're spilling out the water of the one that's kosher to kohen and doing chalitza tar, you're then going to be ruining the water for the kohen that's not going to be able to marry her anymore. Because then she's going to be chalitza. And therefore the Mishnah is teaching us that if you're doing chalitza, do it to the psula and not to the one that's kosher le kohen. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the halachas of a chalitza. About a woman, as we conclude over here, if you're doing chalitza, what's the halachic status of a woman that had chalitza danta? So the Mishnah tells us, ha-machzik gerushasa, if someone remarries his ex-wife, that after he divorced her, and she had already married someone else, he remarries her, which that's forbidden, or v'hanoisi chalutzasa, if someone marries the woman that he had done chalitza to, which then that's also forbidden because of the negative prohibition of Shuv lo yivne, where it says Asher lo yivne, which we learn now that means to say that he's not allowed to go ahead and build it anymore once he has rejected his brother's household. And v'hanoisei krevus chalutzas, if someone marries the relative of his chalutza, so if his sister-in-law, his brother's widow, who died without any children, he rejects her with chalitza, her sister, let's say, her relative, if he marries her, so then yaitzi, he has to divorce, he has to remove himself from that union, and v'havlad mamzer, and the child that he would have from that union would be a mamzer, illegitimate child. Divrei Rebbe Akiva, that's the opinion of Rebbe Akiva, which the Gemara later on is going to ask, that it's difficult because krevus chalutzasai, a relative of a chalutza, seemingly is not a biblical halacha, as we discussed in the previous daf. It would be rabbinic concern because people confuse a chalutza with a grusha, but chalitza itself, to say that the relative would be a child that's a mamzer, is a difficulty. That's the opinion of Rebbe Akiva. The Chacham Aymerim, they hold, ein havlad mamzer. The child is not a mamzer, and that's because Rebbe Akiva is of the opinion that there is a halacha of mamzer from Chiyav Lav, and that's why those first two or three are Chiyav Lav, and therefore he says the child's a mamzer. But the Chacham argue and say that you don't, if there's a negative prohibition just between the man and the woman, and they get married, the child would not be a mamzer. But Amaydim, the Chacham do agree, b'naisei k'roibus g'rishasai, if a person marries the relative of the woman that he divorced, and a woman that's divorced, his ex-wife, is the same as his wife, meaning the sister or the mother of his ex-wife is the same as if she was still married to him, and hence their chiyuv increases to that person. And there, the shahavlad mamzer decham would agree that if one marries his divorcee's relative, let's say sister or mother, that the child would be a mamzer, because then that's a chiyuv increases, where then the vlad is a mamzer. Now, the Gemara asked the question that we alluded to before. The Savar Rebbe Akiva, is it true that Rebbe Akiva holds Hanaisei Kareves Chalutzasa Vlad Mamza, that if someone marries the relative of his Chalutza, Charles and Mamza? But Vamar Shlokesh said, and we quoted this on the previous Gemara, that Kanshan the Rebbe, that there's a Mishnah in there where Rebbe teaches the Halacha, that obviously he's inferring that Achais Gerusha is Medivri Torah, that the sister of a divorcee is biblical. Meaning to say that she still considered his wife for the Halachas of forbidding him and his mother-in-law or her sister-in-law. But achayz chalutzim divrei seferim, the isser of marrying the relative, meaning the sister of the chalutz or any relative, that's only rabbinic. So how could Rebbe Akiva say in our Mishnah that such a child would be a mamzer? So that the Gemara says, Tanei, you should read it and amend it, kareves gerushasai. That what Rebbe Akiva was talking about was not kareves chalutzasai. Rather, you should say it meant the relative of the one that he divorced. And the Rabbanon were only arguing on two out of the three on regarding machzik gerushasai, and marrying the chalutza, but regarding the relative of the gerusha, they weren't arguing about. As the Gemara says, "Hachanam mistaba," this would make sense to say this because the Ketani Seif we learned in the Sefer regarding that it says umaydim that the chacham agree to Rebbe Akiva, although they argue regarding chiyuv lav, and they say that the child's not going to be a mamza, but they agree. But nisa kribis gerushasai that if someone marries the relative of the woman that he divorced, shavlad mamza that the child's a mamza. As the Gemara concludes. If you say that this was the case, one of the three cases Rebbe Akiva was talking about, which as we just amended, he was talking about, that would make sense. Look, we argue on you, but we do agree on one of the three. But if you say Rebbe Akiva wasn't even talking about that case, so my umaydim, what does it say that they agree? I wasn't talking about that. We're arguing about something. He said, I agree to you regarding something else. What would that mean? So obviously, that is the case. It wasn't Krebis Chalatzazi, because that's only rabbinic, and the child wouldn't be a mamzer. So to my Krebis Gurushasai, on that the Chama agree, because that actually would be a penalty of Karas, not just Chiv Alavim. That the Gemara rejects the Raya. V'dilma Hokamashman, maybe it's not true. Maybe actually Rebbe Akiva was not talking about that case. But what the Mishnah is teaching us, what the Chum agree, is the Yesh Mamzer Mechiva Krisis, that there is Mamzer from Mechiva Krisis. And that is what the Mishnah is saying, is that although, yes, we argue and you're regarding what you're talking about, of Chiva Lavin, it's not that we don't say that when there's a forbidden union, a child's not going to be a Mamzer. We do agree, however, that if it was a Chiva Krisis, then the Vlad would be a Mamzer. But actually, maybe Rebbe Akiva is not talking about that case. Now, that the Gemara rejects that rejection. But Hakatani Lakamam, we learned later on the Mishnah of the Daf Mem Testament Aleph, that says, where the Mishnah explicitly discusses this question. It says, Ezehu Mamzer, what would create a child that's illegitimate? So the first opinion says, Kol She'er Basa Shuba La Yavid, the Rebbe Akiva says, any relative of flesh that's a negative prohibition of having that union would create, as he's quoted over here, Chibul Avin, would create a child of Mamzer. Reb Shimon HaTimni Omer, he says, no, kol shechayov nalav karis b'yishamayim, any union which would be punishable by karis from heaven, that would create a child that's a mamzer. Ma'alacha kidvaram, and Alacha was like his words. And therefore, the Gemara is asking, how can you say that that's what the Mishnah here is coming to say? By Umaydim, although Reb Akiva is not talking about, but it's coming to say that those who argue on Reb Akiva, meaning specifically Shimon HaTimni, or the Chacham over here, that, but however, we agree regarding that a chiva krisis makes a mamzer, if explicitly that's what the Mishnah tells us, not from Mem Tesamet Aleph. And I think Mar says, no, that's not a rejection, because Vedimah Kasasim Lantan, the Kribisham Lantan, maybe that's exactly what the Tan is coming to tell us over here. That who are the Chacham, the synonymous opinion, they go like Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, who's quoted later on, but maybe that's what they're coming to say, that Amaydim, that they do agree regarding that chiva krisis will make a child a mamzer. And I think Mar retorts back. Imkain, but then listening Shar Chiva Krisis. If you're saying that the whole point over here was they're not agreeing to Rebbe Akiva on one of his three. You don't agree to our amendment that it's not Krebis Chaltzasai, that it should be Krebis Gurashasai, because you're saying they weren't agreeing to one of his three cases. They were agreeing in general regarding the concept of Mamzer, not like you say regarding Chiva Lavin, but regarding that it can make Chiva Krisis. But if so, the Gemara says, then why'd they pick specifically this case of Krebis Gurashasai? They should have said all other types of Chiva Krisis. Krevis Grushasa Lamali, why pick specifically the case of the relative of the Grusha, Elash Mamino Ariba? Obviously, that, like we're trying to say, must be that the case Rebbe Akiva was talking about was not Krevis Cholitzasa, because that's just rabbinic. It was Krevis Grushasa. And that's what Chama are coming to agree. We agree on that one out of the three cases, because that's Chiva Krisis. But if it was talking about just the concept of general, so why pick out this case from all the Chiva Krisis that you can say? Now, that the Gemara says no. Because of a Dilma Loyal Mloyar, but maybe as we're trying to say that, no, maybe actually Rebbe Akiva was not talking about that case. Now, you're asking a question, then you should have said other types of Chiva Krisis, as many types of Chiva Krisis. Why pick this unique case of Krevis Gurashasai? It's not true. Because of Aidi Ditana, Machze Gurashasai. Because since the cases that Rebbe Akiva was talking about were someone remarrying the woman that he divorced, or Venaisu Chalotzasai, marrying the woman that he also has some level of divorce, of rejecting through Chalitza. And the third case was the Krevis Chalitzase, the relative of the woman that he did Chalitza to. Now on that, Rabban are coming to argue on him. So therefore, Tani Nami, therefore they also said, regarding in the case of where, however, what we do agree on is Krevis Grushasai, is the relative of the Grusha, because that fits in the categories of all those that we're talking about, of a woman that was rejected through Gerish and through Chalitza, the relative of the Chalitza. And he was saying, but we do agree the relative of the Grusha. And therefore, it wouldn't be a raya from the fact that they picked that case, that they're coming to say specifically this. No, maybe that there's no proof that the Gerus would be Krevis Gerushasai. It could be Krevis Chalotzasai. You have a question, fine. But there wouldn't be a proof that the fact that they picked this case, because that's the cases that they're discussing. But it's not that was Rebbe Akiva's case that they're agreeing to. So we're back to the question. But if it is, as the Gerus in that Mishnah is Krevis Chalotzasai, but didn't Rebbe say that that's just rabbinic? That thing Mar says, but yet what you have to say is Krevis Chalitzas Rebbe Akiva Havi Mamzer, actually, as our Mishnah seems to be saying from our Girsa, is that the relative of a Chalutz according to Rebbe Akiva actually will create a child of Mamzer. Now that in Mechir Barabba and Biechanon, behind the time of Rebbe Akiva, the reason Rebbe Akiva is actually it's not rabbinic. Da Makra, because the Pasuk says, a base Chalutz HaNoal, What's the person, the Yavam that did Chalitza called? It's called the household of the one that took off his shoe. That's the process of Chalitza. Which Hakosav Karoi Besai. The Pasuk is calling this woman that received Chalitza from the Chalitza, that's doing Chalitza from that Yavam, Bais Chalutzanal, the house of the one that had taken off the shoe, meaning she, that's the one that had Chalitza done to her. The Pasuk, by default, is calling her Bais, meaning she is the Chalitza's house that had Chalitza done to her, meaning that obviously on biblical level she is like his house, meaning like some level of a Grusha, and that's why there actually is a negative prohibition of him marrying her relatives, just like a Grusha, just like a regular house, meaning like a regular wife, where there's a prohibition biblically of marrying the relatives. And that's why actually that could be the case of Rabbi Akiva, of talking about the Krevas Chalitzasi, that it is a biblical halacha and not just rabbinic, and that's why the child could be a mamzer. Now, regarding the topic of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings the Amar of Yisuf, Amar of Shimon Berebi. He says, "Akol Maidim b'Machzeh Grishos." Everybody agrees regarding a woman that was divorced and then had married someone else in the interim, that was then remarried by her first husband, Rekitinyan Tamad Beis, Shahavlad Pogim L'Kuhuna, where then the child is deficient, meaning is invalid, for Kuhuna. And therefore, meaning if through that union of this, the ex-wife that married someone else and then was remarried, then they had a child, if there is a daughter, that daughter is going to be invalid for kahuna, like a halala, which is a daughter born from a forbidden union of, let's say, a grusha and a kain, where their child is a halala, that's forbidden for a kain to marry her. That would apply to a machzeh grishasa. Now, that the Gemara asks, regarding the statement that was said, man hakol moedim, who is it that everybody agrees? What do you mean everyone agrees? Now, the Gemara says, Shimon HaTimni. It's a reference to Shimon HaTimni. Although he said, as we just recorded from a Mishnah later on, Daf Mem Tes, that there is no Mamzer, and as he said in our Mishnah from the Chacham, that there's no halacha Mamzer from just a negative prohibition. Now, Nehide Mamzer Lehavi, you're right. Although a union of a lav, of a negative prohibition, will not create a child a Mamzer, but Pogam Yahava, one thing that it will be, it will make it invalid regarding Kuhuna, which is therefore the case of Machzeh Grishasa, which is a negative prohibition, as it's one of the cases mentioned in our Mishnah, where Rebbe Akiva said, we'll make a mamzeh chum, Shimon HaTimni said it won't, but it will make it invalid for kuhuna. And the proof is, it's a kavachayma from the prohibition of a widow, where, if the negative prohibition of a widow marrying a high priest, she'eini surish of bakol, that's not a prohibition that's equal to all of the Jewish people, it's actually just for kohen gadol, everyone else is allowed to marry a widow. And still, b'na pogum, even though it's not such a strong prohibition, because it's just on one type of a person, and yet still the child becomes invalid. For kahuna, becomes a halal. So zushi, so reshuv bakal. So here, regarding a prohibition of machzeh grishasa, which everyone is not allowed to go ahead and remarry the woman that he divorced if she had married someone else in the interim, in a din shabina pogum, isn't a kavachermi that for sure the child should be considered invalid regarding kuhuna? Now, that the Gemara actually asked three questions on this Gemara's inference that when we say hakol moedim, everyone would agree that the valid is pogum lekuhuna, a kavachermi from amana, from three different points. As the Gemara says, ikl mitfach, you could ask on this kavachermi. First of all, who said it's a kavachermi from amana? Because mal amana, you find a certain stringency by amana. And maybe that's why her child becomes pogim. She herself, the mother, in her union with the Kohen Gadol, becomes a halala. There, meaning that if, let's say, her husband, the Kohen Gadol, then passed away, and all she is a widow, she was widowed before him, and now she's widowed again, she actually would be prohibited to have a union with a Kohen Hedyet, although she's not a Grusha. And the reason is because by having Bia with the Kohen Gadol, she becomes a halala. And the reason is, as Rashi brings, the Pasuk in Birkei Chafalav says that regarding this prohibition of the Kohen Gadol with the Amon, it says, Lo Yichal Zari. He shouldn't make his children, as we said, Chalolim, which if he marries the Amon, that's what happens. Now it doesn't say Lo Yachel Zari. It says, Lo Yichal with two Lamids, which sounds like that there's two Chilulim, meaning one is for her and one is for her children, as the Gemara explains in Mesech Skedushin, Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. Or another way we find that she becomes a Chalala is if she was the daughter of a Kohen. Now, generally, if her husband dies and she doesn't have children, she can go back to her father's household and eat truma. However, here, even if she dies without any children, she becomes pasul from truma, as the Gemara says later on, Daf Samaches Amud Aleph. Whereas, by Machzeh Grishasa, where she herself does not become a halala, as Rashi explains, because regarding the point of becoming pasul tikuna, she doesn't become pasul by the union, by getting remarried to her husband, because she's already pasul anyway because of the first time she got divorced from her husband, where grusha is pasul to kohen hedjut. And if regarding truma, actually she does not become pasul to truma, as the gemara later on, Daf Samach Tes Manalf explains, as the gemara on the bottom of this amud will also demonstrate that same point, because it's only something that she was always forbidden to, and her husband she wasn't. It's only afterwards that she got divorced and then got remarried and got married to someone else, then she becomes forbidden. However, such a union would not make her forbidden in truma, and therefore that's question number one. How could you learn kavachemer from a man? That's not such a kavachemer. A man is more stringent that she becomes a halala, whereas by machzik rishasi. Question number two is va'ai by machzik rishasi. The Torah tells us the words in the Torah say hitay eva, that she's an abomination. Ksiv, that's what it says. Which the inference is v'im b'ner toyevin, that union of the gerusha that's being taken back by her ex, that is what is an abomination. However, but her children are not an abomination, and therefore it would sound like that they would be permitted to marry into Kahanim, which would detract from this kavachim we're trying to make from the almana. Question number three is, well, moreover, Tanya, we learn the brayta, machzik rishasa. If someone takes back the woman that he divorced, again, after she had married someone else in the interim, and if someone marries the woman he did chalitza to, and someone that marries the relative of the woman that he did chalitza to, so as quoted in our Mishnah, Kiva Aimer says more than just that. He says, as in our Mishnah, with a child from a Chiv Alavin would be a mamzer. Here he says, Ein Laba Kedushin. Actually, there's not even a halachic marriage over here, because Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that Kedushin is not Taifis, but Chiv Alavin. It will not even have the effect of Kedushin if there's a negative prohibition over here between these two people. And therefore, Ein Tzricha Min HaGet. It doesn't have to have a get to give her to divorce her, because they were never halachically married. And Vihi Pesula, she actually, this woman becomes pasul to Kahanim because she's now a Zayna. She's having illicit relationships because there was no marriage over here. And the Zayna is pasul of her kain. And Uvlada pasul, moreover, her child becomes pasul, meaning the child becomes a mamzer, as Rebbe Kiva is recorded in our Mishnah. And moreover, we force him to remove her because this is forbidden relationships. There's no actual marriage over here. The Chacham Ayrim, they argue. They say, no, yes, leba kedushin, regarding, although there's a negative prohibition, but this is a halachic marriage. And therefore, to remove them from this marriage, you need a get. And v'hi kasher, she's kasher. And the vlad is kasher, and the child is kasher. Now, on that, the Gemara says, and this was the third question. Now, leman, who is it that the Brice is saying that according to the Chum, the child is kosher? Lav l'kahuna, isn't it saying that the child's kosher for kahuna, which is question number three, which again refutes the kavachaymer, that to say that the bina is pogum from amana, when you see clearly, it seems from this braisa, that the chum hold that the child is kosher even for kahuna. That the Gemara says, loy, to answer question number three, no, it's l'kal. This that the chum is saying that it's kosher is meaning for the general population of the Jewish people, meaning the child's not a mamzer. However, the child would still be pasul for kahuna because the bina is pogum. Now the Gemara asks, if that's the case, then he kosher when it says that not only is the child kosher, but the mother's kosher, Laman, who would that be a reference to? Elam l'kal, if you're saying, as it seems to be the uniformity of the child, that it's saying it's kosher for the kal, that's what it's saying that the mother's kosher for the kal, well, that's pretty obvious. Meshem d'zanya, because she had illicit relations, if l'kal, she becomes possible to a general population of the B'nai Yisrael. A zayna, a woman that is mezana, does not become possible to marry someone. Elalav l'kuhuna must mean that when we're saying that she's kosher, according to the Chum, is even that she does not become a halala, that she's even kosher for the kahanim. Umidehi l'kuhuna, and therefore the Gemara says, from the fact that it's saying that she's kosher for kahuna, vladinami, when it's saying hikshir, uvlad kosher, it's the same terminology, saying that the child's also going to be kosher for kahuna. And therefore, this is going to be refuting the kavuchayma from question number three, where we see that the child is kosher lakuna. And that the Gemara says, no, midi iria? Who says that it means the same thing? Hakadisa, hakadisa. That, no, when it says regarding her that she's kosher, it means that she's kosher of the kuna. When it says a child's kosher, it means that the child's kosher to marrying to the general population. But maybe it is, as we're answering for question number three, that for the kuna, it is pogam, as we see kavuchayma from Amana. And that the Gemara says, actually, hachinam mistaber. Actually makes sense, like we're answering to resolve question number three, that hakadisa v'hakadisa, that it actually is different references. Because the Ketani Reish, we learned in the beginning of that Brice, according to Rabbi Kiva, that he holds that, no, he pesula uvlad pasul. She's invalid and the child's invalid. Now, he pesula ma, when Rabbi Kiva says that she's pasul, Who is she pasul to? Elim lekal, if you say that if someone, let's say, remarries the woman that he divorced, then she becomes pasul to the general population, how can you say that? Mishum dezani ifsal lekal, because she was mizani, she becomes pasul to the people? It's not true. A zayna is allowed to go ahead and marry Jewish people. Elav lekuna must mean that's tumah for the kuna. Now, when he then continues, says the vlod apostle, that the child is also apostle. Laman, who's that a reference to? Elam lekuhuna, if he's saying that's only for kahana, but hola called kosher, but for the kahila, that she is kosher. But Amr Bekiva, Havlan Mamzer Bekiva is on record there saying that the child is a mamzer. Elapshita lekahal. Rather, you have to say, obviously, when the child's apostle, it's apostle even to the general population of the Jewish people. And therefore, this that we have proven, that the first part of the Braisa, in Rabbi Kiva's terminology, that they are obviously distinct terms, even though it seems to say in uniformity of he psula, but vlad psula, where we just proved that he psula is only for kahuna, and vlad psula is even like kahal, so sevenam, because it makes sense that this answer that we're saying to resolve question number three, that it's not difficult, that each one is told on a different term, and maybe actually the kavachami that we said, that the bna, the child of a machzik rishasai, would be pogum. And therefore, although we're saying that in the opinion of the Chacham, that he kosher, or vlad de kosher, the vlad de kosher is not the same as the mother, although the mother is going to be kosher even kahuna, the child's only being kosher but the kahila, but as we said, although the child's not a mamzer, it will be pogum le kahuna. But now the Gemara returns to, however, question number two that we had. Vehi te'eva nami, so the Gemara says, the question that you asked, that we're saying that, what do you mean? It says in the pasuk that she is an abomination, but the child is not. Another thing where it says, no, don't make that diuk, that inference. Rather, he ta'eva, this is that it says that the relationship between the man that remarried his ex-wife, that married someone else in term, that that's an abomination, but the inference is ve'in tzaras ta'eva. But the co-wife is not a ta'eva, meaning that we don't say that she's going to be forbidden for yibum as a tzara of an erva. We're saying that no, only she's ta'eva and not the tzara, and therefore the tzara, actually the co-wife, could have even done tar of benetta. Maybe it's true that the children are considered abomination, and therefore the second question is resolved, that we still could say the kavachamim from mamana, and that is that the bena would be pogum from the relationship of a machzik rishasa. But the Gemara says, el almana kasha, but you still offered the first question, that is, how can you learn up from the almana, this kavachamim, but ma la almana, we find a certain stringency by the widow, that you don't have a machzik rishasai, and therefore maybe only there we say the bina pogrom, because she can hiatzma mischalalas, as we said before, she herself becomes a chalala, which doesn't happen by a machzik rishasai. The Gemara says, Ella, rather, you're right. I itmar, if we were saying this amarok statement that we started on the bottom of Amar Aleph, hachi itmar, actually, it was a different statement. Amar Yisuf, Amar Bshim Berebi, was the same. That same context, but that he said Hakol Meidim, everyone agrees, but it wasn't talking about that everyone agrees regarding a Machzik Rishasai, but rather Bebal Chiva Krisis. If someone has relations with a woman that is punishable by Karis, if he has a relationship, there is Shahavlad Pagam. There, everyone agrees that the child from that union will be Pagam Tekun. As the Gemara illustrates, Man Hakol Meidim, who is it that everyone agrees? Here we're saying it's not Shimon HaTimni, it's Rabbi Yeshua. And that is the Avagav Dom Rabbi Yeshua, even though Rabbi Yeshua is on record and saying in the mission later on, the Mem Tesmet Aleph, that Ein Mayim Zemechiv Akrisis, that they're actually, he says even more than the two opinions in our Mishnah. He says not only is there no child Mamzer from Achiv Alavin, he says there's actually not even Achiv Mamzer, there's not even Mamzer from Achiv Akrisis, rather only from Achiv Mrs. Bezdin, those that are given by Bezdin, the four types of death. Now that is what Rabbi Yis is saying, that Nehida Mamzer Lehava, although according to him, Achiv Akrisis will not create a child of Mamzer, but Pogam Mehava. But one thing it will be considered deficient and invalid to marry into the Gehanim. And that is Mekavach HaMamono. Because a Ma'amon L'Kohen Gadol, as we said, She'ini Surushim Bakol, it's not such a stringent law, because it's not forbidden to everybody. The widow is only forbidden to the Kohen Gadol, and yet still that relationship will create Benar Pogam, that the child will be invalid for Kahuna. But here, where Chiva Krisis is for every person in the Jewish people, a mother or all these different types of cases, we have a Chiva Krisis, that ain't a din shabina pogum, whereas in the Kavu Chaim, that for sure the child will be a pogum. Now, if you're going to say, as we had asked on the previous version, by Machzik Rishasai, that wait a second, Mala, Amon is Shekini Asma Mischalelas, what do you mean? Amon is more stringent because she has become a chalala. But here, the way we revise this version and saying that it's not Toma Machzik Rishasai, but actually Chiva Krisis here also, actually, Kivin Shiba Allah, since this man who's on the pain, on the punishment of karis, forbidden to this woman, once he has intimate relations with her, asah zayna, he actually makes her into a zayna, and therefore she becomes pasul tikuna. However, regarding the case that we had mentioned by Machzik Rishasa, we can't say that their forbidden relationship, if she has a relationship, she becomes a zayna, because as the Gemara tells us later on, Perakamalukan Golnav Samach Testament Aleph, where the Gemara says, maybe you should say that Nivala Lapasala, this of her having a relationship with someone that she's vowed to is Machzik Rishasa, the Gemara says you can't say that, because it's only someone that is what called Zar Atzla Mi'ikara. Only someone that was always foreign to her, always forbidden to her, will then make her into a zayna, which will make her into halal and forbidden to kahuna. However, Machzik Rishasa wasn't like that because she was once married to him and permitted so. It's only after she got divorced and married someone else into him that she becomes forbidden to him. Therefore, if she would have relations with him once again, that would not make her into a zayna. And therefore, that is how we refuted it from that first question of it's not a kavachayim because Amana has his trims, Jeb Halala. But now, according to the second version that we're saying, we're going to chiva krisis that has relations with the woman that is forbidden to, actually will make her into a zayna, which is in the category of halala, meaning being forbidden to the kahanim. And therefore, although, even let's say according to Yeshua, that the child is not a mamzer of a chiva krisis, however, even he would agree that the child will be pogum to kahuna.